17 now. Luke chapter 17. Someone once said, it is difficult to get a crowd where the only attraction is God. That's another one of those anonymous statements. I think sometimes those are the best and the truest. Nobody gets glory for them, but let me repeat that. It is difficult to get a crowd where the only attraction is God. And I can see that clearly in our day. Clearly, very clearly. I tried to briefly count heads this morning. There may be about 40 people here, I don't know. Because all we have here is this right here. This is it. We're going to open the Word again, and we're going to read it, and we're going to study it together. That's all we're going to do. No entertainment. Our society is so fast-paced and so materialistic, so entertainment-oriented, that it's difficult to find anybody who's just interested in the eternal things, interested in the Word of God, isn't it? And the sad thing is, I see it in the church. I see it here. If we were having a service tonight, we'd see it. You see, we have so much. We are rich. It's what the Lord said to the church. In one place he said, we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that you're poor and miserable, blind and naked. We have so much. And we are so busy trying to pay for and maintain what we do have that we don't have time to properly thank God who gave us everything. It's so, isn't it? It's pitiful. We're a sad lot. So few people who take time to worship, study, meditate, thank God properly. That's why we're here. That's the primary reason we're here. Thank God. Thank God. There's so very few worshipers, really. Seekers, thankful, faithful. David said it in Psalms 12, verse 1. He said, help, Lord. The godly man ceaseth, and the faithful fail from among the children of men. Help, Lord. The godly man ceaseth, and the faithful are failing from among the children of men. There's signs of apostasy everywhere. Signs of apostasy abound, even in this place. I would not be a faithful watchman if I did not take note and warn. Signs of apostasy abound. It scares me. It scares me. This is a sermon with three parts, and these things are contained in this sermon, three parts. Number one, men ought to worship God. Thank God. That's what worship is, just thanking God. Men ought to thank God. They ought to worship God. Number two, men ought to seek God. Men ought to seek God. Number three, men ought to call on God. Number one, men ought to worship. Look at our text here in Luke 17. Men ought to worship. Look at verse 11 and 12. It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, and I'm still struck by that. He passed through. The Lord of glory passed through this planet, walked through this planet. He passed through, and he stopped in certain places. He stopped for certain people. As a little fella up a tree, as an infamous woman at a well, as an old ragged blind man by the road, certain places, in certain villages, for certain people. And he stopped for certain people in here. The Lord of glory, who could have passed you by, stopped for you. Men ought to worship. Well, he passed through, and he stopped in a certain village. Why? Because there was a certain fellow there from one of these ten. And there were lepers there, it says. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Leprous men who stood afar off. And the Lord came where they were. Throw that in the picture of salvation. Huh? Lepers. We are lepers. We're lepers. You know that? The leprosy of sin is within us. Rotting. It's making everything we touch unclean. Our very breath unclean. Right? Leprous. The sin. There's a spiritual leper. Unclean. Defiled. Dying. Leprosy is always faith. Dying. Far off. By nature, we're far off from God, aren't we? At one time, you who were strangers, we were far off. You who were far off, he passed through. Where you were, you leper, you. He came by where you were and healed you. Once far off from God by nature, without hope, without God, lepers. But he came and healed you. You know, everybody's a leper, but there's some people who are just religious lepers. They've got the outside cleaned up. Look at it here. We'll see it here. Verse 13, it says, and they, every one of them, lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Every one of these 10 lepers lifted up their voice and said, Jesus. One of the brethren was talking, you were talking the other day, saying how everybody's religious. It's getting popular. Remember saying that? Rick, you remember saying that to me? It's getting popular. Everybody, there's no, even the vilest construction work, even the, no matter who, everybody's religious. Everybody believes on Jesus. Everybody. It's popular now. It's vogue. Is that the word? I don't know if it is. But it's popular. Jesus, Master, you know, everybody gets in trouble. At one time, everybody calls on God, and many make a profession, join a church, believe on Jesus, don't they? And they all sing the songs. Oh, how I love Jesus, you know. Jesus, Savior, Pilate. They all sing the songs, don't we? What a friend we have in Jesus. Just as I am. Amazing grace. Everybody sings the songs. They all sing it. Jesus, Jesus. Something about that name. They go through the motions of religion. Our Lord said, you call me Master. And you say, well, because I am. You know, he's not master to everybody. He's not Lord. Some call him Lord, Lord, with their lips, and their hearts far from believing that, aren't they? Verse 14 says that when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves unto the priest. Everybody goes to church Sunday morning. Everybody's in a synagogue of their choice. You seen these bumper stickers? They say, go to church on Sunday. You seen that? Truck drivers have them on the back, don't they, Joe? A lot of church. Attend the church of your choice. Eat the poison of your choice. Everybody goes to church. Everybody. Few men come to Christ. Everybody going to church. God, and God relieves people out of their troubles. Quite often, doesn't it? Look at it, verse 14. He said, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were all cleansed. Every one of them were cleansed. Everybody gets in a spot, Nick, and they call on God, and then generally they get out of it, don't they? God's merciful. His rain falls on the just and the unjust. Send rain, the crops are dry. God sends rain. Does that mean that he heard their prayer? No. No. He's just merciful to the unjust as well as the just. And he gives people out there to add to their condemnation is what he's doing. Right? I told a fellow on his deathbed, you know, that lived all his life for himself and never came to worship, never thanked God. I said, bud, I said, this thing of seeking God is when you're alive, not when you're dying. Seeking God's a full-time thing. Thank God when you're well. That's when you ought to thank Him the most. Call on Him the most when you're well, not when you're sick. Everybody does that. Everybody wants out of a mess, don't they? Well, look at it. Verse 15 says, one of them, one out of ten, one of them, when he saw that he was healed. No, nine of them, ten of them were cleansed outwardly. Got their outward leprosy. One of them was healed. There's a difference. One was healed. This is a type of true conversion. This is a man who had his spiritual leprosy healed. His sins washed away by the blood of Christ. His sins forgiven. He was one who had a need of his sins removed. Called on the Lord evidently out of his heart. And the Lord saved his soul. Not only cleansed his body, but saved his soul. Real healing. He heals everybody that has need of healing. Quite often he heals, cleanses those that have need of cleansing. But he heals everybody that needs healing. What do you need? I need my sins put away, Lord.
He'll do it.
Come on. Said, done. Asks, receives. So, and it says that he was healed, look at it, and turned back. He turned back. The ten fellows are heading off. They saw the priest, went to church, stand, went down to the church house, and ten of them were cleansed, and one of them was healed. Ten of them heard the same message, one of them heard. What did he do? Turned back. Where did he turn? To Christ. He turned to Christ. Those other fellows went their way. He turned to Christ. Turn back. That's repentance. That's another word for repentance. To turn. He repented. It says, with a loud voice, glorified God. This is a real leper who really calls and who really saved. And he comes and he really worships. Not what a friendly. What a saint. Not. The great physician heals.
He sang that song, didn't he?
The great physician heals the sick. He sang with a loud voice, glorified God. Why did he come back? What did he do? There's three things he did. Look at it. Three things. It says, with a loud voice, he glorified God. Glorified God is number one.
First thing he did in this thing of worship is he glorified God. Secondly, it says verse 16, he fell down on his face. Where? At Jesus Christ's feet. You can't worship and glorify God except through Christ. He came to Christ. That's God with us. That's who Christ is. He's God. No man knoweth the Father save the Son. No man worship the Father save who worship the Son. He fell down at the Son's feet, at Christ's feet, and worshiped Him. He knew that by Him, through whom, Him, to Him, are all things. That Christ was all. He was all His healing, all His cleansing. And He fell down at Christ's feet. That's humility, isn't it? Humility. And look at it. It says, giving Him thanks. There it is again. Giving thanks. What was this worship all about? This is what this fellow was doing, wasn't it? When you worship Him, do you remember that other story of another leper coming down from the mountain? It says it fell at Christ's feet and worshiped Him. Remember that? The Lord said, what will you that I do unto you? He said, Lord, that I might be healed. That's worship. Worship's falling at Christ's feet, worshiping Him, and giving Him thanks for all things. Giving Him thanks. Worship, three things this man did. He worshiped, and he worships. He glorified God, that's worship. He fell at His feet, that's worship. And he gave thanks, that's worship. That's why we're here this morning. You need a better reason? John, need a better reason? You want me to tap dance? And I'll put on a little silly robe and I'll hold my hands up and throw water in your face. Will that draw you? Well, I'll play the guitar. I'll do this. I'll do that. Will that draw, that what you... Why are we here? To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. We're here to thank God. That's why we're here. No other reason. And to thank God through His Son. Through Christ. He's why we're here. No other reason. Right? No other reason. Men ought to worship God, shouldn't they? Look at verse 17. And Jesus answered him and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There's not a Sunday night or a Wednesday night that goes by that I don't ask that question. There'll be about 9 people. I say, where are there not 10 believers in here Sunday morning? Where are the 9? Just one came back to glorify God. One. You know, Saul, listen to this. Listen. Just listen as I read. You don't have to turn. Listen to this. It says, this is talking about the children of Israel, it provoked him. First verse in Psalm 106 says, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. He's good. His mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord. Why are you here? To praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why are we here? To give thanks that He's good. He's good to you. His mercy endures forever. Says verse 8, He saved them for His name's sake, to make His mighty power to be known. He saved them. Says verse 12, they believed. They believed His words and sang His praise. Verse 13 says, they soon forgot His works. And He gave them their requests. Are you listening to me? Listen to the Word of God, please. It says that they soon forgot His works. Forgot it. A rich increase was good. That's how the best way you can forget God. Keep me from riches. Lest I what? What did Solomon pray? Keep me from riches. Lest I what? Forget me. When the barns are full, and when the children are fat, and when the bills are paid, beware, He said, you don't forget your God that filled the barns, that fattened your kids, and did all this for you.
Listen, people. They soon forgot his works and lusted in the wilderness, tempted God, he gave them their request, but sent wolves into their souls.
Why are we here this morning? To give thanks to God for everything. In everything, give thanks. Everything.
Psalm 107 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. He's good. His mercy endures forever." Stand to say that. Psalm 107, verse 1. Give thanks unto the Lord. He's good. God been good to you, Master Parks. Oh, my. I can see it. Yes, three of your children, your grandbabies are here. And your husband's living. You ought to be singing the loudest. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. He's good. His mercy endures forever. That's everybody in here. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The Lord redeemed you. Where's he brought you from? How far down did he get you? Where did he bring you from? Do you remember the pit from which you were dug? Oh, we forget that. Why do we forget to give thanks? Why do we go cold? We forgot the pit. We forgot where God got us from. We forgot what we once were. Don't we? So we got all polished and cleaned up with somebody. Peter did, didn't it? An old scumbag fisherman off the side of the wharf, you know. Got all lifted up with pride. Thought he was somebody. Everybody loved you but me. He was the first one to do it. Oh, Peter, remember where I bought you from. You ought to worship God. We got another better reason to be here this morning. Are your quivers full? Children and fatness. Oh, man, we need another better reason to be here this morning. He said it four times in Psalm 107. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Say, preacher, I don't have to be here to praise the Lord.
You're right. You're right. How much praising is going on at home? You know, heaven's going to be a congregation of people, of those that are what doing what? What are we going to do throughout eternity? What are we going to do? Praise the Lord. To thank him. That's why heaven, that's what heaven's all about, what it's for. That's why we're going to be there. We don't start now, and I'm going to be there.
Not going to be there. Look at Luke 17 now. Men ought to praise the Lord, oughtn't they? Men ought to worship, shouldn't it? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful works to the children of men. Where are the nine? Where are the nine? Look at Luke 17. It says, and here's my second point. Men ought to seek God. Men ought to seek God. Look at verse 20. When he was demanded of the Pharisee, you know, we make a lot of demands on God, don't we? Don't we? We make a lot of demands on God. We expect God to do what he does for us. We expect him to. We expect that sun to come up tomorrow morning, don't we? We expect that water to be there. We expect that air there to be us breathe. Don't we? We make a lot of demands on God. How many demands does he make on us? What does he demand of us? What does God command us to do?
What one thing does he demand of us? Just one thing. Be ye thankful.
Right?
God commandeth men everywhere to repent. Believe Christ, be ye thankful. Worship.
Worship. That's all. Worship. Enjoy. God gives you all things richly to enjoy, John.
Worship me for it.
Thank me for it. Right? That's it. That ain't much, is it? He said, my commandments are not grievous. God's people going to get together to worship. Oh, no. Oh, yes.
said unto me, let's go worship. Why? Why do I have to worship for? Oh, thou hast to be not so with the Lord, who's made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, it's all my hope. I'm going to go worship. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts? How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that flowed down the head of Aaron and down on his beard and on his garments. Sweet, it's pleasant. I found your word. He said it was like gold. I found gold just what I did. Milk all tasted as honey. Water, that's the first thing. I found sweet fellowship, and oh, it was a balm of Gilead. Men ought to worship on that. Men ought to seek God. It says they demanded something, or they said, look at it, verse 20. It says they demanded of him when the kingdom of God should come. And I really ought to preach this message in three parts, but I want to get through it. When the kingdom, they demanded of him when the kingdom of God should come, and he answered them, said, the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation or outward show. Show us the sign. Our Lord said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There's a religious crusade on TV. A fellow, his name is Rodney Brown, Rodney Howard Brown, and his the name of his crusade that he takes from town to town is
Signs and Wonders Crusade.
I laugh at the ignorance of men, is what I'm laughing at. You know, if men are ignorant of the scriptures, they'll
do exactly what it says they do.
Won't it? An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after signs. Signs and wonders crusade. Show us, we'll believe. Where's the promise of his coming? That's what they asked Peter. Show us, we'll believe. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. God is showing his people some things. Huh? Have you been shown some things this morning?
I have.
God is showing some things to his people. Very clearly. Where are they getting it from? Where are their signs? No. Right here. Open mine eyes, David said in Psalm 119:18. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. See, God's giving his people truth. He's setting them free from superstition, tradition, from men that would have them in bondage to them. I don't have you in bondage to me. If I tried to bring you, you'd see right through me. You see things clearly. Why? You got your glasses on. Right? See through glass dimly, but we see. When the truth is getting truth, God's people are getting truth. God's people are getting what they need. Truth. Rock solid, getting grounded and settled in the truth. Faith in Christ is going to save their soul. Faith in Christ, nothing and nobody else. Christ alone. It's going to save your soul, buddy. It's going to save your soul, buddy. Faith in Christ alone. Don't take my word for it. God said, you believe my son, he that cometh to Christ, I will in no wise cast out. You can take that all the way to heaven, not just the bank. He's giving his people what they need. Christ, feeding them, Christ. He's making them lie down in the green pastures. The still water, feeding them the word, feeding them the word, giving them what they need and what they want. What do you want? Want the word. One of the men said to me the other night, he said, last Sunday morning, he called me up and said, are we going to have services today? I need to hear Christ preach. He said, got what you need. Colossians 3:11, Christ is all. He got what he asked for.
And he's given unbelievers what they want. Isn't it?
Signs and wonders. Isn't it, Joe? Says, God send them what do you want? Signs and wonders. Show us the sign we'll believe.
So he sends them strong delusions. They believe a lie.
Believe a lie, reject the gospel. But boy, they're seeing some things, saying. They're seeing some things. You're seeing some things with the spiritual eye, buddy. Can't believe these eyes. You believe God. Now, I don't believe some things I'm seeing, that's for sure. Do you? I can't believe some of the things I'm seeing. People are. Aren't they? What scares me, though,
is these things that are so close that if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. That's what
bothers me. All right, look, read on down. He said in verse 20, he said, the kingdom of God doesn't come with an outward show. Verse 21, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. Behold, the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God. If you'll break down the word kingdom, dominion of the king, king's dominion. Where is the kingdom? The king's dominion.
Who's the king? Christ. Where's his dominion? He reigns in the hearts of his people. Christ said, my kingdom's not of this world.
Don't be so taken up with it. Eat about six a day. I said, yeah, I'm going to die. I sure am. You know where I'm going? Don't, that's what he said. Don't take no thought for the things you shall eat. What's the worst we eat? And you say, well, I've got too many fat grams. Be temperate, but don't be a nut. Right? God could sustain everybody in here on dog meat if necessary. Elijah was fed by a bird, a crow. Did he say, let's get to the fat grams? Come on, I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm poking fun here. But he said, take no thought what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what we're going to wear. The doctor, if you go to one extreme, we might go to the other. It doesn't matter what you wear. Everything matters. Be temperate. Be moderate. Don't be so taken up with this world, Christ said. My kingdom's not the kingdom of heaven. It's not in meat and drink. But in what? Righteousness. We got to know him. Not how many fat grams. This is the knowledge we need. We got to eat him. We got to feed on him. We got to get fat in him. I tell you, we just plumb get off on tangents on things, don't we? Huh? There's a middle of the road about everything. Moderation, temper. How did I get so taken aside about that? That's because the Lord said, my kingdom is not of this world. You've got to save the planet. Why? Just don't scream, preacher. Somebody's sleeping in here. I need to wake them up. Why save this planet? I'm all for, you know, the green movement and all that. We shouldn't pollute the air and all that, but why be taken up with it? God's going to destroy it. After we save it, God's going to wipe it out. They got what you want. Get it all green and clean and all that. Watch. Burn it out. Right? My kingdom is not of this world. Don't you be like the world. What we eat, what we drink, what we going to do? We got to do this, we got to do this. You've got to know Christ. You've got to worship Christ. You've got to be. You know, the only thing we ought to be fanatical about is Christ.
The only thing we ought to be overly enthused about is Christ, right? The only thing we ought to be totally taken up with and diligently look into and follow after Timothy is Christ's words. Right? I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not. My kingdom is not of this world. It's not a material kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. And you know, we run the danger. Here's the danger we run into when we get into all these tangents and all that. Running into some kind of mysticism that melds into all this world religion. There's some kind of unity between the body and the spirit. No. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. That's Hinduism is what they, that's Buddhism, that's Taoism, that's all these other isms. Ain't no connection between this body and this spirit. That which is flesh, did he say that? And that which is spirit, you can't meld the two. Well, if we see, that's a holistic movement and all that crap. Christ is all in it all. Don't abuse, use this world, don't abuse it. And that can work both ways. You can abuse it by being overly taken up with it, or abuse your body and so forth. But that ain't our message. It's to preach what we're supposed to do with these bodies.
What they give Christ.
That's it. Well, you know, it says that the world, you know, Christ says they that are my sheep will hear my voice, and they'll be coming to Christ. They'll be coming. They'll believe, feed, grow, resting, light, lying down in Him. When the Son of God walked the planet, when Christ walked the planet, the world followed after Him. That's what He said. The whole world's gone after Him. He worked many signs and wonders, didn't He? How many worshipped Him? When it came down to His most glory, when it came down to His glory, stand, His glory, His finest hour, He said, my hour is come. Mine hour. My crowning hour. The crucifixion. Who was with Him? Zero. He worked signs and wonders. That won't do it. He said, the kingdom of God is not without observation. And these things, we say, well, it says down here, they ate and drank. And He's not condemning that. Is it? You know, men, Paul said it in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He said, in the latter days, some shall depart from the faith, forbidding to marry, abstaining from meats, and so forth and so on. That's who's saying that she's not supposed to eat and drink and all that. That's who's saying it. False prophets and preachers and so forth. Christ didn't say that here. He just said it's things are going to continue like always. Right? He's not condemning marriage and giving marriage and building and eating and all that. He just said, as it was back then. And what is the point here? The point is, look at verse 26 and 27, or verse 25. Verse 25 said, first Christ must suffer. Before He comes, He must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. First rejected and suffer abuse, blasphemy, all this apostasy and all this that's going on in our day, all this false religion. You know what characterizes it? The next few verses. As it was. Look at it. Are you with me? What characterized the rejection of Christ and apostasy and all that is in the days of Noah, eating, drink, materialism. Materialism. That's what it did. That's what characterized them rejecting Christ. That's what proved it. And all the abuse. Materialism. Christ said, what will a man give for in exchange for his soul? Anything. A man will give anything. Job? Home? Family? Ticket to the Super Bowl? Anything. Own it. A boat on the lake? Anything. It doesn't matter. 6 Bud Lights? Won't he? What will he do in exchange for something? Anything. Doesn't matter how ridiculous. Be the best picker that ever was? Anything, won't they? In exchange for a soul. Look at verse 34. Look at it. I tell you, Christ said, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, and one will be taken, the other left. What is that? That reminded me of election. That's what that did. Election. Two in the bed and one taken. Oh, my God. Isn't he good? His gracious, his election. Praise God. He chose you from the beginning. Two in one bed, one taken, election. Verse 35, two women shall be grinding together, one taken, the other left. One hears the gospel, the other. Two in the bed, one hears the gospel, and gets up, comes to Christ, the other one keeps sleeping. Two women working, one believes, and the other just stays religious. Verse 37, they said, where, Lord, where? Where'd they go, Lord? Look at it. I bet you've never seen it. Where, Lord, where are they going? They're taken, where'd they go? Christ said, where the body is. That's where you'll find the eagles gathered. The chickens, it's where the hen is. You ever seen that? Where are they, Lord? Where'd they go? Where'd this fellow... Where's so-and-so? She's at the grind. What do you say when you go to work? Back to the grind. Where's so-and-so? She's at the grind. He's at the grind. Where's so-and-so?
Where the body is.
Where the mind? Where's so-and-so? Where the body is. That's where the eagles will be gathered. He said, I'll lift you up on the wings of eagles. From a turkey to an eagle. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, all could I have gathered thee as a mother hen doth gather her brood, but you would not. Would not. And lastly, men ought to call on God. It says in chapter 18, it says there was in a city a judge who feared not God nor regarded man as a widow that kept crying unto him. And the judge says, I'm going to avenge her lest she continually come to me and weary me. And the Lord said, verse 6, don't you hear what this unjust judge saith? Listen a little longer. Shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them, though he might not answer them immediately? Will he hear them? Will he answer them? Will he save them? Will he? I tell you. Verse 8, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless. And this nevertheless is what scares me, people. It scares me. It scares me for my conscience. This, you are who I preach to. I'm not preaching this for the tape's sake, so that somebody will hear it somewhere, some preacher. I don't do that. That's one reason I wish it wasn't taped. You are who I preach to. You are who I have been set a watchman over the house. Son of man, I've set thee as a watchman over so-and-so house. And this is what scares me. Nevertheless, that nevertheless scares me to some people. When the Son of Man comes,
is he going to find faith on the earth? What kind of faith?
Faith like this woman. Kept calling on him. That's what scares me. Men ought to be worshiping. Men ought to be thankful. Men ought to be seeking. Men ought to be calling. Men ought to be waiting. They ought to be. And God's people are. They are. But they're few and far between. Many are called, few are chosen. The Word of God is filled with promises, lest we despair. Filled with promises, lest we despair. Filled with warnings, lest we presume. For every one person I've seen that has remained a faithful believer and grown up and actually borne witness and evidence that they are a true child of God, for every one I've seen another that got gospel hardened. Just heard message, just gospel hardened. Lord, don't let it be so here, anybody. Gives he that has ears to hear, let him hear what's that. Man ought to worship. Ought to be here. Not asking, you know, not. It's our privilege. It's our honor. It's a high honor. It's food. Children are gathered around the table to eat. Come and dine. You need it. I need it. Men ought to worship. Men ought to seek God. Ought to seek Him. But not with trappings of religion. It's the heart. It's a spiritual thing. Men ought to call on God. Keep calling. Keep calling. He'll hear you. Keep calling. Keep calling. That goes right back to the first point, doesn't it? Calling, thanking, worshiping. All goes hand in hand. It's all together. Where the body is, where the eagles are gathered. You an eagle? Huh? Shall we gather at the river? Where bright angels' feet have trod, into which things the angels desire to look into. Oh, that God would give us a desire. Flowing by the throne of God. Yes, we'll gather at the river. It's where the body is. Beautiful, beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river. And take a big drink. Let's stand.